The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10, beginning at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So far the reading. You may be seated. In the name of our Lord, the Good Shepherd, let's try to get at what Jesus is teaching in these words by setting up a contrast. If we would attempt to recast his words so as to make clear how the relationship between the Good Shepherd and his flock is commonly misunderstood, what might that sound like? Well, it might sound something like this. My sheep really ought to hear my voice. And if they do, then I will acknowledge that I know them. And they really should follow me. And again, if they do, I will reward them with eternal life. And they will never perish, and then no one would be able to snatch them out of my hand and out of the hand of my Father. And by way of contrast, here again, the words of our Lord himself. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So what's the difference? The Christian gospel message is not about things that are possibly true, or potentially true, or which become true only when certain conditions are fulfilled from our side. The saying, God helps those who help themselves, doesn't work in Christian theology. That mentality in spiritual things destroys the gospel. Dr. Luther used an expression in this connection which has a proverb-like quality to it, which highlights the problem. In German it goes, Conditio richtet alles Unglück an, he said. The meaning is that making the gospel message conditional causes all kinds of spiritual disaster. The words of the Good Shepherd do not dangle a carrot before us, which we must strive to get a hold of by fulfilling certain conditions. Rather, his words are about things that stand as established, objective truth, accomplished reality. They are a summary of the basic framework of all of Bible teaching concerning the relationship between God and the faithful. The Lord of the church knows the faithful, and the faithful are attentive to his voice. The Holy Christian Church is made up of those whom the Lord knows, and those whom the Lord knows hear his voice and are attentive to his words. In many ways, the scriptures lay down for us in clear terms this relationship between God and the faithful. The specific verb that stands between the subject and the direct object might change, but the point is the same in each case, whether the action involved is to choose, to serve, to love, to give, or to know. Consider a few examples. In the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus uses the example of the connection between the vine and its branches to teach the faithful about their relationship to him. There he says to the faithful, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. I chose you out of the world." In the relationship between God and the faithful, God is the active party who does the choosing. The faithful are the chosen ones. Christ is the vine, the source of all life. The faithful are the branches whose spiritual life is derived from the vine. When his disciples bickered among themselves about who among them would claim to be the greatest, Jesus told them, "I am among you as one who serves. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Christian religion is first and foremost about God serving us in our need. When the Christian church gathers around the gospel in word and sacrament, there Christ is in its midst as the one who serves. If we place the verb to love between God and the faithful, where does the emphasis lie? In his first epistle, St. John explains in this way, "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Religion in the minds of many is a phenomenon which has to do with how men love God. The Christian faith is about the love of God for mankind. Once again, God stands in the subject position, and the faithful are the object. The Savior chooses. The Savior loves. The Savior serves his faithful. No one can come to him unless it has been granted to that person by his Father. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. All of this the Good Shepherd takes and packs into this statement, "I know my sheep." This is a teaching which completely casts down and rejects all human arrogance and presumption. It is a teaching which gives all glory to God. This is the teaching of the third article of the Creed. "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith." Man does not lay hold on God through any wisdom or spiritual talents or ability. God lays hold on us, and he receives sinners. The Savior knows us. He knows us, first of all, in our weakness and our need for the redemption that he provides. And then he knows us through all that he has done to provide for our redemption. By his life, death, and resurrection, he served and loved us in our need. And by his gospel, he brings to us the benefits of his work of redemption. In the hearing of his word, he creates the faith which enables us to say, "This redemption, which the Son of God won, is now ours. We are able to claim it as our own because he chose us, he served us, he loved us, he gives us eternal life, and he won't let us go." These are the things the faithful hear. This is the voice of the Good Shepherd in our midst. This is the message that draws the flock to follow him. These are blessed and powerful words. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Let us all pray. Please turn to the appointed place in the front of the hymn book, collect number 67. It begins on page 155. And please rise for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, out of your fatherly goodness, you have been mindful of us poor, miserable sinners, and have given your beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. We beseech you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that even as this shepherd knows us and helps us in every affliction, we also may know him, and trusting in him, seek help and comfort in him. From our hearts obey his voice and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.